The following message is brought to you by Mark Maurer, President, National Federation of the Blind, 1800 Johnson Street, Baltimore, Maryland, 21230.
Greetings, fellow Federationists. This is Thursday, February 9th, 2006, and Presidential Release number 337. I have sad news to begin this presidential release. Kathy Sobranek of Wisconsin died on January 14th of an apparent heart attack. She and Larry, her husband, were on a cruise at the time in the Caribbean. She had been looking forward to it. She had also been in deteriorating health for some time. Kathy Sobranek joined the National Federation of the Blind in 1970. She was one of the founding members of the National Federation of the Blind of Wisconsin, and she was a leader in the organization, excuse me. From the time of its beginning, she will be greatly missed. Jim Carlock of Arizona, I learned in January, also died. He was the president of the National Federation of the Blind of Arizona for a number of years. I'm sorry to have to tell you of his death. And Carol Clark, who was president of the NFB of Kansas Johnson County chapter and who served for a time as president of at least one of our divisions, died on January 29th. So I'm sorry to have to tell you of the deaths of all of these Federation members. We have had the Washington seminar since we last got together on the presidential release. We've talked about the urgent need for people to come to the Washington seminar, and indeed, there were more people at this Washington seminar, I believe, than we've ever had in the past. There were something over 500 people present. And it was a great time, an energetic time, a moving time, a time for planning and getting things put together. And we had the topics of the Washington Seminar. There will be a lot more about the Washington Seminar as we go forward, but we had the Higher Education Textbook Access Act introduced during the time of the Washington Seminar. You will remember that the Instructional Materials Accessibility Act, which we tried to get started a while back in about 2001, if memory serves, was stopped by certain people in the Department of Education, and nevertheless, the provisions of that act were incorporated within the amendments to the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, and it was adopted a little over a year ago. That act said that there would be textbooks available for students in grade school and high school in an alternate format that could be used by blind people, and that those books would have to be available at the same time that the textbooks were available to sighted students. This would be accomplished by making electronic forms of those books available through a central depository so that they could then be distributed to blind students at the beginning of each semester. Well, that's a good system, and the Higher Education Textbook Access Act is intended to do the same thing, this time for people in colleges and universities. That was one of the pieces of legislation that came up and is being considered now in our work with the Washington Seminar. Last year, we started working on the Louis Braille Commemorative Coin Act, and this is a piece of legislation which would make a commemorative coin in 2009 in honor of the contribution that Louis Braille has made to literacy for blind people, and it would also sponsor a literacy campaign. This is a Braille literacy campaign, a national Braille literacy campaign that we in the National Federation of the Blind would conduct. That bill was one of the measures that we plan to promote at the Washington Seminar. At the beginning of the Washington Seminar, we had a goodly number of co-sponsors, well over 200 of them, and we were hoping to get to the number that is needed for a commemorative coin bill to pass the House of Representatives. I am pleased to be able to tell you that this week we have been informed that the required number of co-sponsors, that is 290 of them, have signed on to the Louis Braille Commemorative Coin Act. The Louis Braille Commemorative Coin Act should be able to pass the Congress, that is to say the House of Representatives part of the Congress, within the next few days. We still have to work in the Senate. The idea is that we would have the funds from the sale of the commemorative coins to manage a Braille literacy campaign throughout the nation, and this would happen beginning in 2009. That's when the coin would be struck and would be distributed. The Senate of the United States requires, in order for you to pass a commemorative coin bill, that you have a two-thirds majority of co-sponsors. We, as I have said, have a goodly number in the House, but we need to have 67 of the members of the Senate sign on to the commemorative coin bill. So I am urging everybody to get a hold of your senators. Tell them how important this is. We have a number of co-sponsors already, but we don't have the number we need. So please let your senators know how important it is for us to get people to co-sponsor the Commemorative Coin Act. The third of the pieces of legislation discussed at the Washington seminar is entitled Blind Individuals, Business Development, and Employment Opportunities Act. I recognize that this is a long and complicated title. Blind Individuals, Business Development, and Employment Opportunities Act. Last October, there was a hearing before the Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee in the Senate, and that hearing criticized the sheltered workshop program in the United States being operated under the Javits-Wagner-O'Day Act, and especially the part of it which is operated by NISH, which was formerly the National Industries for the Severely Handicapped. NISH has always wanted to get hold of the opportunities in the Randolph-Shepard program and has been seeking to have those opportunities be assigned to NISH facilities. There are a number of contracts that are multi-million dollar contracts that NISH wants to have. It already has many multi-million dollar contracts that at least in theory should be part of the Randolph-Shepard program, but it wants all of it. And it has not been willing to compromise. It just wants them all. In the process of investigating the NISH program, a number of abuses were discovered, especially exceedingly high pay for executives and very low pay for ordinary workers. However, in the HELP Committee hearing, the Randolph-Shepard program and the Javits-Wagner-O'Day program, the Sheltered Workshop program, were combined, and the abuses in one program were attributed to another. It was quite an unreasonable depiction of the Randolph-Shepard program. In response to that, however, we've been talking about a bill which would create opportunities for blind individuals to develop employment and to do it through the Randolph-Shepard program, but also to create business opportunities that would have much more of the appearance of blind enterprises that would sell things other than food in the Randolph-Shepard program. This program would be under the Department of Commerce, and it would give blind people the chance to get some money from the Department of Commerce to set up independent businesses and to operate them. Those businesses, unlike Randolph-Shepard businesses, would be owned by the blind individuals, and if they got developed thoroughly, they could later be sold by those blind individuals. This would be a thing to encourage blind people to go into business. It's a complicated piece of legislation, but it is a good piece of legislation that would provide a lot more employment to a lot more blind people. Those were the things we talked about at the Washington seminar and the pieces of legislation that have been drafted for this particular meeting of the Congress. The fact sheet about this legislation is posted on our website so that people can get at it if you want to know what is happening with respect to the legislation that we're being promoted this time. As I said at the Washington seminar, one of the things that we've done, I think I've mentioned it also on the presidential release, is that here at the National Center for the Blind, we've been using last names for a long time, and we've decided to go to first names because we think that the advantage we get out of using first names is greater than the advantage out of using last names. We were using last names for a long time because we thought that using last names gained us more advantage than using first names. And you say, well, if it was so before, what changed? Well, partly the times have changed and partly the customs in our society have changed. Those who ran the world in the old days, who were the captains of industry and the principals of business and government and so on, have traditionally been known by their last names, but things have changed enough that the people who govern the business and other parts of the way that we proceed in our society have now come to be accustomed to using first names. So since that is true, we have changed to use first names ourselves. It may be an indication that we've lost our minds, as I said at the Washington seminar, but if so, then be it so. We talked about our national convention at the Washington seminar, a thing that needs a talking about. The national convention is coming up, as you know, and the place where the convention will take place is the Hilton Anatole Hotel. It used to go by another name, but now it's a Hilton. It's in Dallas, Texas, and I urge you to get your reservations in at the hotel. The telephone number is 214-761-7500. If you go to the national telephone line to get registrations for hotels, reservations for hotels, you may very well be told that either the rate is different from the one that we have in the contract, or that there are no rooms in the inn, or something. If you call the hotel itself, this is a hotel telephone number and it's on the property in Dallas, you should be able to get hold of somebody there at the hotel on the property who knows about our convention and can get you a reservation. 214-761-7500. Occasionally, I've been told that this number doesn't work. However, we've tried it many times, and we've found that it does work. So if it doesn't work the first time, keep at it. We have plenty of reservation space still available, so you can get a room. After a while, the space at the hotel may be gone, but for the moment, there's quite a bit of it. I've been to the hotel of recent time. It is a Class A place, and I think we'll have a spectacular convention there. This year we have pre-registration. Pre-registration begins on March 1st. This is pre-registration for banquet and registration at the hotel. You can't pre-register in this way and get yourself a hotel room. You have to call the hotel for that. But for registration at the convention and for banquet sales, you can get a pre-registration, and there is a discount for those who do the pre-registration. It starts on March 1st, and it can be done either by sending in a letter with your money or by doing it online and using a credit card. We don't take these by telephone. We take them either online or by mail. Pre-registration goes from March 1st to May 31st, After that time, we're not going to take any more pre-registrations because we've got to get the database ready. So you can pre-register March, April, and May. The cost of registration is $20 and the cost of the banquet is $40. If you pre-register, the cost of registration is $15 and the cost of the banquet is $35. So you see there's a discount for those who do pre-register, and it will prevent you from having to stand so much in long lines. Anyway, if you want to pre-register, then you can do so by sending in your money, $15 for pre-registration and $35 for banquet ticket per person, or you can go to our website and find the pre-registration section of the website and do it with a credit card there. If we don't have your money, then you have not pre-registered, so get your registrations in. On April 7th, here at the National Center for the Blind, we will be having our annual celebration. The annual celebration is a time when we invite people to come and talk about what it is that we're doing here at the National Headquarters of the Federation and get people to know something about blindness. And also, we ask people for contributions for the celebration. It is a time when we will have a program, when we will also be having some entertainment and some dancing and some eating and things like that. So it'll be a good time. April 7th is the date. So come if you feel a mind to. I believe the tickets this year are $75. The same weekend is the celebration of the 20th anniversary of the establishment of the Louisiana Center for the Blind. That is the 7th, 8th, and 9th of April in Ruston, Louisiana. It should be a splendid time. So those who have connections with the Louisiana Center for the Blind, then you should get yourself registered with Pam Allen, because that will be a good time too. I don't know whether I can be at both places. I'm going to try it. If I can't, I'll be at one or the other, probably. I don't know. It hasn't all been worked out yet. I'm working on it. I'm going to try to be at the celebration here in Baltimore and then head off to Ruston. We'll see whether I can get that done. There are conventions of the National Federation of the Blind affiliates, and as a lot of the conventions started a goodish while ago, this is the 50th anniversary convention of the National Federation of the Blind of New Mexico, April 21 through 23, and Arthur Schreiber is planning a spectacular convention, so those who like to celebrate half a century, keep that in mind. I have to say this about the Kernel Book program. We each year have been working on our Kernel Books to try to get people to know about what blindness is and to demystify blindness to some degree. It is a good idea for people to come to understand us, because if they do, then a lot of the prejudice that occurs and a lot of the misunderstanding will disappear. So I urge you to write these firsthand accounts of experiences that you've had as blind people and get them to me. There is a prize that we draw each convention for one person who writes a Kernel Book story. We take all the Kernel Book submissions and then take the name of each person who has submitted one, and we put them in a hat and we draw out one, and the person who wins that prize gets $1,000. I may have said at the Washington seminar that there could have been a different prize, but the prize is $1,000. And $1,000 is a good thing to have, so keep the Kernel Books in mind. We need the stories for the Kernel Book program. One of these times, I am headed to New Zealand. We're having our President's Day seminar coming up. All of the state presidents, or almost all, will be coming in. And we're going to be talking about how we operate the National Federation of the Blind and what we need to do in order to build the organization and the programs within it. I'm looking forward to that, and as soon as that's over, I'm going to head south for New Zealand. I've never been to New Zealand. I've heard that it's a spectacular, fun place to go. I'm going there to talk about joint programs with the HumanWare company. I am aware that we're doing some programs with HumanWare, but there might be opportunities to develop these further, so I'll be going there and coming back after a while, and I'll be glad to tell you about how it was and all of the things that are working to build new products and have grand dreams and good ideas for programs for the blind from the land down under. I know that Australia is usually called the land down under, and some people think that New Zealand isn't too far from Australia, and it depends on your perspective. I gather it's about 1,500 miles, which in one sense isn't too far, but in one sense is. So I'll tell you how the New Zealand trip goes when I get back. I've spent a little time at the United Nations not too long ago. The people who are disabled from around the world are there at the United Nations working on a convention. This is a piece of paper, they call it a convention, dealing with the rights of the disabled throughout the world. And as an opportunity, we hosted a time for people to come and look at the KNFB reading machine, or a prototype of it. The developments of the KNFB reading machine are going forward, and it will be ready for testing in about a month. We have a lot of people who have applied for the opportunity to test the machine. We're trying to get lots of feedback about the way the KNFB reading machine operates so that it will be a first-class product when it becomes available for sale, which will be fairly shortly after the testing program gets underway. I am pleased with the progress we're making in the development of the KNFB reading machine. It does do a good job in recognizing text. I did expect it one time to recognize pink lettering on orange background, and it had a lot of trouble with that, so it won't read everything, but ordinary kinds of print that you get out of a printer or something like that, it'll read quite well, and things are going well. I'll have more to say about the testing program on the next presidential release, and we're having, in the first part of March, a gathering here of people who are going to be the ambassadors for the KNFB reading machine, and they will get their hands on the machine so that they can show it to people and be a part of the testing process as well. These are the things that come immediately to mind, and this brings me to the end of the presidential release, and I have some of the customary endings here. Michael Barber, who is president of the Des Moines chapter of the National Federation of the Blind of Iowa, says, "Did you hear about the coach who spent 25 cents for a better passing game in football? When it failed to materialize, he asked for his quarterback." Hazel Staley, who has served as president of the National Federation of the Blind of North Carolina, says, "Did you hear about the man who kept Band-Aids in the refrigerator in case he got cold cuts?" Or, "The man in the restaurant said, 'Waiter, I'm in a hurry. Will the pancakes be long?' 'No,' he replied, 'they'll be round.'"
The preceding message was brought to you by Mark Maurer, President, National Federation of the Blind, 1800 Johnson Street, Baltimore, Maryland, 21230.